You see, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you don't want to give over to the flesh anymore. You don't want to sin. You don't want to do those things. And evil men and imposters will come up with ways to help you in your relationship with Christ. But as we're going to see, those ways are that which takes you captive.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And our teacher is Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church. And Greg, today we get back to our study in the book of Colossians, and we come to a verse that needs a little bit of preliminary study.
Yes, Dave, and that verse is Colossians 2, verse 8. And so in today's study, we're going to go back a couple of verses to gain the context we need to have to understand this verse rightly. So let's turn to Colossians chapter 2, and we're going to begin with verse 8.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Well, every so often you hear of a news story, horrible news story, where someone has been kidnapped or whatever it might be. It's even more horrible when it has to do with children. I think just a little while ago last week, there was a lady that came into a gas station and passed a note basically saying, I'm in this car, I'm going this way, I've been kidnapped. And they got the bad guy. But the reality is, when you're kidnapped, you become a captive. You become a captive to the will of the one who has taken you. It's a horrible thing. It's a terrible thing. And we look at that and we recognize how evil it is. But yet, in the church, there's actually a lot of kidnapping going on also, that the church doesn't seem to really care about. Doesn't seem to even know about, where people are being kidnapped Sunday after Sunday, week after week, by those who would share man's wisdom packaged as God's word. Taking captive believers, in a sense, as we'll see today, in their walk with Jesus, pulling them away from the sufficiency of Christ. And it's so subtle and it's so devious, yet it is so deadly. So we are studying the book of Colossians, and so if you would turn with me in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 2, we're going to look at verse 8. We're going to see how we can escape the trap of those who would snare us up or pull us away from the sufficiency of Christ. How to not be taken spiritually captive. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Now, remember, the Apostle Paul is writing to the Colossians, and he has not personally visited them, but he has heard from Epaphras about their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and their love for the saints. And he has praised the Lord and prayed for them. And he has made it clear that it's his desire that they and we would be filled with the knowledge of his will, that we would walk in a manner worthy. As God's word, his will is filling us up, then we walk in a manner worthy. And along with that, he's also made it clear, and we'll see it today, that there were threats. Evidently, there were those who were trying to delude these Colossians with persuasive arguments. And we saw in chapter 2, verse 23, which we'll look at a little bit today, that the things that they're bringing to them religiously are of no value against fleshly indulgence. You see, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, you don't want to give over to the flesh anymore. You don't want to sin. You don't want to do those things. And evil men and imposters will come up with ways to help you in your relationship with Christ. But as we're going to see, those ways are that which takes you captive. And so the Apostle Paul, in his solution to these threats, shares the person of Jesus Christ. And that's what chapter 1 is about. It's about Jesus Christ. He is the creator. He is the one who brought about this first creation. For through him and by him, all things are created. And he is also the God who brought about the new creation through dying for our sins and rising from the dead. It is through Christ that we are saved. It is through Christ that we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And then it's from that point the Apostle Paul begins to share his ministry in light of, as we'll see today, the bad guy's ministry. He shares what true biblical ministry should look like as it came through him versus what is happening to the Colossians and what will happen to every believer as we're tempted and the threats are out there. Indeed, we see that authentic ministry has God's men ministering. We saw that. The Apostle Paul called to do God's will, to share God's word, to fully proclaim his word. We also saw that God's messengers and God's ministers bring forth God's word. They proclaim God's message. And that message is Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And they do so with God's methods. He says, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man that we may present every man complete in Christ. It's through the admonishing and teaching of the word of God, proclaiming Christ, that we grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And then we saw that those who truly are his ministers struggle for the body of Christ. They labor in this and they are concerned for the flock. They're concerned and desire to protect them from those threats to their relationship with Jesus Christ. And so with that in mind, we're going to look at today, chapter 2, verse 8 of Colossians. Again, if you would turn there. Now, I'm going to back up and I'm going to read up through that from the end of chapter 1, okay? But we will be looking more specifically at chapter 2, verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 28, and we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man complete in Christ. And for this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works within me. Chapter 2, for I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf and for those who are at Laodicea, and for all of those who have not personally seen my face, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and attaining to all the wealth which comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this in order that no one may delude you with a persuasive argument. For even though I am absent in body, nevertheless I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. And now our passage. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. So how can we keep from being spiritually enslaved? How can we stay away from that? First of all, we're going to see that we need to heed the warnings and we need to watch out. We need to beware lest we be taken deceptively away from Christ. Again, see to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. We're going to see, first of all, in this short but powerful verse, that we need to be on the alert. We need to see to it. This is a present imperative command. It means beware, take a look. It actually, the word really in its basic function means to look out. But if you're seeing to something, you're looking to be aware of something. And it's often translated beware or to watch out. It speaks of watching out for danger. If you say beware of something, you're saying there's danger. You need to watch out for it. You need to see to it that you don't allow that danger to come upon you or stumble into it. So he says, see to it. And what is he warning us about? God is warning us about something. He's warning each and every believer here. See to it that no one takes you captive. That no one takes you captive. The term or the participle translated takes you captive is in a present tense. It speaks of continually, habitually being taken and held captive. It speaks of being forcefully carried off, and it implies that the person taking you is receiving the booty of you in terms of that captivity, taking someone away. It speaks of kidnapping. It speaks of taking someone. And in a rare wordplay here, quite possibly to reveal who these people were at that time, everyone says it's the Gnostics, but as I look at chapter 2, I see a very Jewish influence here. And this word here takes you captive. Sulagulon is very close to Sunagugan, the synagogue, very close. It's quite possible a wordplay there to kind of illumine who these people might be at that time. But we're going to see he doesn't identify them specifically because the same bad people use the same techniques no matter who they are. But we're going to see possibly who they are. See to it that no one takes you captive. Now, this is an interesting phrase in the original language, and it's difficult to translate. You could translate it this way because there's an extra verb in there, the verb eimi, to be. You could say it this way. And it's in the future tense. See to it, that's an imperative command, lest someone shall be the one captivating you. See to it, lest, there's a negative, someone be the one captivating you. The implication is if you're not looking out, you're going to get taken captive. Lest you be taken captive. Lest someone be the one taking you captive or carrying you as spoil. We're going to see the bad guys. You're basically spoiled in the sense that they follow you. They receive applause from you. They are elevated because of you. They receive money, whatever it might be. We'll see the motives of false teachers. See to it lest someone shall be the one captivating. And then it is, again, from the south, you all. It's plural. You all, captivating you all. Watch out. And the implication is if we're not obedient to this command, that we could be taken captive in the future. It's future tense. Shall be taken captive. Now remember what he said in verses 3 and 4. He talked about the absolute sufficiency of Christ, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I say this, verse 4 of chapter 2, in order that no one may delude you with persuasive argument. The term delude, we saw this in our last time together, speaks of reckoning wrongly. Para logizomai, reckoning, but reckoning alongside what should be right, but it's wrong. It speaks of being deceived by false reasoning. And the term persuasive speech speaks of that which is a speech that brings about a plausible argument to make you agree, to bring you, to influence you to believe something. A plausible argument designed to delude you. So here, there are evil men and women, as we see, who use persuasive speech to delude by false reasoning believers. And they're deluding them from the sufficiency of Christ and from His wisdom alone, which is in His Word. Because in Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We saw also that as we have received Christ, we are to walk in Him. And the context is faith. They're trying to pull you away from the sufficiency of Jesus Christ and trusting in Him by believing His Word. Remember, when we came to faith, we believed the gospel. Paul shared with the Thessalonians, he praised God that they received it not as the word of men, but the word of God, which it really is, which performs its work in you. They heard the gospel that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that He was buried, He rose from the dead, that God took on human flesh, He died for us, and God calls upon all men everywhere to repent. And you believe that. And you didn't go out and do anything, you actually believed. And you trusted in Jesus for salvation. And that is how we walk. We believe what He says in His Word, and we abide in Jesus, and we trust Him. And there are those trying to pull you away from the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. And it is very subtle, it is very sneaky, and it is very devious, and it is very deadly. You see, we have everything we need in Christ. And God has given us His Word, His very will, His very words. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1, seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. Through the true knowledge of Him. It's in a real relationship with Jesus, who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted us His precious and magnificent promises. We have the Word of God, the very words of the Lord. We have the mind of Christ revealed by the Spirit of God in the Scriptures. When we trust in anything other than Christ alone, or we add to what Christ has done, when we bring in human wisdom to follow Jesus, we become enslaved. We become captives, and we are carried off. You see, when we buy into the world's wisdom, as we'll see, packaged religiously, by the way, very deviously, it's not so obvious, it's devious, they're persuasive arguments. They're designed to deceive and lead believers astray. But we're going to see this worldly wisdom packaged religiously is of no value against fleshly indulgence. It actually takes you captive. You become a prisoner to it. And there's a lot of prisoners in churches these days who have bought into the wickedness of man packaged as the Word of God. Now, when we look in our passage, we're going to see that these evil men and imposters say things that appear to be religious. I get that from our context of chapter 2. Notice what chapter 2, verse 18 says. Look up a little farther. Let no one keep defrauding you continually, habitually, of your prize by delighting in self-abasement. Now, the NASB says self-abasement twice here, as we'll see. It's really the word humility. Now, they've translated it self-abasement because it's spoken in a negative sense. The bad guys delight in a false spiritual humility. We've seen that, haven't we? False spiritual humility. And also, he says, the worship of angels, taking his stand, speaking to the bad guys, and visions he has seen inflated without cause by his fleshly mind. Here, these bad guys appear to be religious. They appear to be humble, and they appear to have spiritual experiences, at least at that time. And obviously, this false humility was used in the context of spiritual experiences to manipulate believers to believe the world's wisdom packaged as God's wisdom. Look a little farther up in Colossians 2:23. These are matters, now this is the same argument, he's moving up through the chapter, by the way. These are matters which have to be sure, the appearance of wisdom in self-made religion and humility, by the way, self-abasement, and severe treatment of the body. Hey, they appear to have wisdom. They're religious in nature, but they're not useful for anything. These people have false humility with a false religion packaged with the appearance of wisdom. But remember, in Christ are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You see, that's how we're protected. So Paul makes these Colossians understand the threat is real. Beware. They're out there. And for us, it says beware of the very real threat. And now that verb to be is in an indicative mood. What does that mean? It's the mood of reality. It's a real thing. It's not a might be. It's not a subjunctive like this could happen to you. Beware. It's real. Paul is emphasizing the very real threat of being taken spiritually captive and maybe not even knowing it. The command is for all of us to obey. Beware. Lest you be carried away by someone. Question is, are you obeying the command? Now, this doesn't mean we're going out and pointing at everything and everything. We're just alert. We're aware. When you know the Word of God and you rely on the Christ and His Word and you know His wisdom, it helps you spot the false stuff. That's why we need to be built up. Ephesians chapter 4, God gave pastors teaching for the equipping of the saints. He talks about, then we're no longer tossed like children to and fro by various winds of doctrine, by the deceitfulness of man, craftiness and deceitful scheming. As we grow in Christ, we're protected from these false things that come our way to try to help you in a relationship with Jesus. So then, he's commanding us to be aware. Otherwise, we could be taken as booty, captive, as the booty of someone else. Are we obeying it? There's dangers out there. We need to be thinking about it. Brothers and sisters, we are being bombarded with plausible, reasonable arguments and buying into them hook, line, and sinker. They have much truth, yet at their core, they introduce some facet of, as we'll see, the world's wisdom. I remember back in the 90s when the purpose-driven church came out, and then the purpose-driven life. Had a lot of Bible verses in there. So many people took it hook, line, and sinker. Churches, 40 days of purpose. Read those books. It's full of man's wisdom, having you do things, taking away from the sufficiency of Christ. People were taken captive Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, 40 days, and even still captive. We need to wake up. False teaching is any teaching that chips away at the absolute sufficiency of Christ by lessening, twisting, perverting, whatever it might be. You see, bad guys will come in and give you a verse, and then they'll sit there on the couch and discuss your problems and address those things and give you the world's ways to fix them. Actually, they divert you from what you really need to think about, not your problems. You need to be confessing sin and thinking about Christ instead. Ultimately, they proclaim a man-centered way to do the God thing, using his word to support their argument. But they twist it. You might be asking, how does this teaching enslave you? Well, it subtly pulls the focus off the sufficiency of Christ, in whom are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And we're going to see that they take you captive according to these worldly wisdoms rather than according to Christ, as we'll see. You see, we need to have the word preached to us. Paul will tell Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. And then he says, I solemnly charge you, Paul to Timothy, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing in kingdom. Wow, this is going to be a big charge, isn't it? Yes, it is. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires. That's their worldly desires. That's the way the world functions. So how are we enslaved? When we focus on our relationship with the Lord through ourselves, through our own wisdom, through man's means, it just brings bondage where we need another fix me up every Sunday. We need another pep talk to get us through the next issue in our lives. We're in bondage all week long. Rather than being equipped by the word, changed by the word and the God of the word, and then having it dwell richly in us that we might not sin against thee. Let's not be naive. Let's be on guard. We saw this in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus said, beware, verse 15, the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. We know from 2 Corinthians 11, the Apostle Paul unmasks the false apostles. He says in chapter 11, verse 13 of 2 Corinthians, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, or workers of deceit. That's their job. They're deceiving. That's their work. Disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it's not surprising. We shouldn't marvel at it. If his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end is according to their deeds. We know that Jude, while he was making every effort to write about our common salvation, felt the leading of the Spirit of God, as we see here, to call us to contend earnestly for the faith, once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed. Right? So keep your eyes peeled. Be on the alert. It's a command. It's a warning to heed.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, honestly, it's hard to think of some pastors and teachers deliberately trying to delude us with persuasive arguments. But as we've seen, the scriptures are clear that that's the case, so we need to be warned.
Yes, Dave, we do. Indeed, these days we are bombarded by plausible and reasonable arguments, and sadly are buying into them hook, line, and sinker. They have a lot of truth within them, but yet at their core they introduce the world's wisdom packaged religiously, and thus deny the absolute sufficiency of Christ and his word. Well, folks, we need to wake up. We need to recognize this deception will be packaged in persuasive arguments.
Well, we haven't got to the core of our passage yet, so we want to encourage you to make plans to join us for our next edition of Equipping the Saints.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.